in hopes of steering him toward the priesthood. Her plans were dashed the instant her son first laid eyes on young Rose Kelly. Ultimately, Macaulay's ticket out of Providence was the same punched by his dad and his grandfather and his maternal great-grandfather before that, all of whom had joined the U.S. Marine Corps. On his wall, Macaulay kept his honorable discharge right alongside that of his father, the dates 34 years apart, almost to the day. Legendary Secret Service agent Tim McCarthy, who had taken the bullet for Ronald Reagan, had helped Macaulay get on with the uniformed Secret Service. Then Macaulay had returned to Boston to be near his ailing father, taking a job with the U.S. Marshals Service and attending night school at a satellite campus of Notre Dame, where students jokingly called themselves the Fighting Nuns. From the outset of his FBI career, Macaulay had experienced the joy of someone who discovers late the work he was meant to do. The meshing of FBI organizational culture and his personality practically seamless. He wasn't one to write long reports or detailed analyses, but the FBI at the end of the 1990s was still more of a spoken word kind of operation, focused on shoe leather investigations, takedown arrests, and successful prosecutions. He could charm the keys off a jailer, and he had an instinct and bias for action that perfectly suited the demands of FBI work. As one of his colleagues put it, you sometimes had to step on Brian McCauley's foot to stop him from making the most inappropriate comments imaginable. But he had also seen McCauley literally drive over the foot of a fleeing suspect rather than let the man escape. There was a confluence between Macaulay's career at the FBI and the rise of increasingly deadly terrorist attacks that had some analysts writing about the age of super-terrorism, and it would ultimately transform both his life and the bureau he loved. In his earliest days on the job, he had been assigned to a multi-agency joint terrorism task force in Washington, D.C., investigating a fundraising operation run out of the Northeast in support of the Irish Republican Army, IRA. That investigation led him to what was known as the Valhalla case, a twisted scheme of gunrunning and treachery that revealed the dark side of the tightly knit Irish-American community in the Northeast, as well as the dangers that lurked at the shadowy intersection of transnational criminal cartels and terrorism. The Valhalla was a 77-foot fishing trawler operating out of the hardscrabble port of Gloucester, Massachusetts, where Irish mobster James Whitey Bulger used it to smuggle narcotics and run guns to the IRA. Back in 1984, the Valhalla had transferred 7 tons of weapons and ammunition worth $1 million to an IRA boat named the Marita Ann. Thanks to an informant, the Marita Ann was intercepted by the Irish Navy before it could distribute to IRA gunmen a cargo of rockets, submachine guns, rifles, handguns, bulletproof vests, and 70,000 rounds of ammunition. One of the crewmen on the Valhalla, John McIntyre, was later picked up by police and interrogated by drug enforcement officials, and he agreed to turn informant and reveal the links between the Irish mob in Boston, drug trafficking cartels, and the IRA. Unfortunately for McIntyre, that information was eventually shared with FBI agent John Connolly, another first-generation Irish-American who had befriended Bulger as a kid on the tough streets of South Boston and was secretly funneling him intelligence, protecting the Irish mob boss from investigations into as many as 19 murders. Weeks after talking with the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, McIntyre disappeared. He wasn't heard of again until 1999, when Whitey Bulger's lieutenant, Kevin Weeks, led investigators to his remains in a makeshift grave in Dorchester so as to lessen his own racketeering charges. As a kid, Macaulay had always heard the Irish Republican Army romanticized as freedom fighters, and it was an open secret that many wealthy Irish Americans gave them money for the cause of freeing Northern Ireland from British rule. But the Valhalla case and his subsequent investigations opened Macaulay's eyes. IRA operatives were training in Libya right alongside other members of the global terrorist pantheon, including the Palestinian Hamas and the Lebanese Hezbollah.